Nastyeva, nastyeva, gatir anyata. So today is an auspicious day. We learn from the great Vaishnava poet Jayadev Goswami in the introduction to his great book Gita Govinda. He has composed one Dashavatar Stotram. And in that Dashavatar Stotram, he includes this fifth incarnation, Vamanadev. Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Vamana Pada Nakanira Janita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Vamanadev has other names which he is celebrated. One name is Trivikram. Can everyone say?
Trivikram.
Another name is Urukram. So the translation of this verse by Jayadev Goswami, all glories to Lord Keshava. Everyone say?
Keshava,
of course, means Krishna. So all these dash avatars, they are Krishna's incarnations. You have assumed the form of a dwarf, O Lord of the universe, who takes away everything inauspicious for the devotees. So if you're a devotee, raise your hand. Then by hearing about Lord Vamana, he is going to take away everything inauspicious. Do you like that? Then say Haribo.
Haribo.
Oh wonderful Vamana Dev, you tricked the great demon Bali Maharaj by your steps. The water that touched the nails of your lotus feet when you pierced through the covering of the universe purifies all living entities in the form of the river Ganges. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, there is a nice narration by Shukadeva Goswami. He's instructing Maharaj Parikshit, and he's describing different regions throughout the universe, different dvipas, different islands. So in one of those, he talks about Lord Vamanadev, but he speaks mostly about Bali Maharaj. So I'd just like you to hear from Shukadeva Goswami, and we're also going to hear from Bali Maharaj. And in this way, we'll get some appreciation for this fifth incarnation, Vamana Avatar. So if you're ready, everyone say, Gaura Haribo! Very good. So let's now try to hear this Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami says, my dear king, who's the king? Parikshit. Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, appeared as Vamanadev in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe, pierced a hole in its covering with the nail of his big toe. Through the hole, the pure water of the causal ocean entered this universe as the Ganges River. Having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, covered with reddish powder, the water of the Ganges acquired a very beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify one's mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges. Yet its waters remain ever pure. Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord, she is known as Vishnu Padi. Everyone say? Later, she received other names like Janavi and Bhagirathi. After 1,000 millenniums, the water of the Ganges descended on Dhruvaloka, the topmost planet of this universe. All learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruvaloka to be Vishnupad, situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. So that's Shukadeva Goswami explaining to us half of what we heard from Jayadeva Goswami, Padanaka Nira Janita Janapavana. Now, Shukadeva will describe to us the essence of the Vamana Leela, because when the Lord comes in his various incarnations, avatars, there are six different kinds. Vamanadeva is called a Leela avatar. He performs a specific function, and it also, by the whole experience, we learn so many things how to advance in our spiritual life. In this short description by Shukadeva, and from hearing from Bali, we will learn some very nice instructions how we can make our lives more auspicious. That's why we come here. We come here because we want to increase our auspiciousness. We don't want to go down. If you want to go down, you just have to turn the television on. Then you'll go down. But when you come here, the idea is to become uplifted, enlivened, ecstatic. Didn't you all love the kirtan? Wasn't it a nice kirtan? Everyone was chanting very loudly. That is how we make advancement. And we're going to hear something about that in a little while. So shall we go further? Say, Hari Bol. Very good. You deserve a bell. Very good. I mentioned the other day, this bell is GBC approved. I feel obliged. I want to thank Omkar Das, who is the person who is allowing me to speak tonight. So Omkar, thank you for this service. May Krishna bless you more and more in your spiritual life. Shukadeva Goswami said, below the planet Vitala is another planet known as Sutala, where the great son of Maharaj Virochan, Bali Maharaj, who is celebrated as the most pious king, resides even now. For the welfare of Indra, the king of heaven, Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of a dwarf brahmachari as the son of Aditi, and tricked Bali Maharaj by begging for only 3 places of land, but taking all the 3 worlds. So here, Shukadeva said tricked, and in Jayadeva Goswami's prayer, he uses the word chalayasi. Same thing, sometimes cheating. He tricked him, because there was no other way to do what he had to do. Sometimes the Lord has to do that. He has no other option. Being very pleased with Bali Maharaj for giving all his possessions, the Lord returned his kingdom and made him richer than the opulent King Indra. Even now, Bali Maharaj engages in devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the planet of Sutala. And if you study this fifth canto, it's true. The enjoyment, the material enjoyment in this planet of Sutala is actually greater than Indra's enjoyment on his heavenly planet. It's very unique. But we're going to hear more. I won't spoil the punchline. Shukadeva continues, my dear king, Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadev. Say that holy name. But one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence as a result of his charitable disposition. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly supersoul. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that Krishna lives in your heart as the friendly supersoul? Good. Very good. The more that you can remember that, the happier and more intelligent and blissful you'll become. You're never alone. Krishna is always with you in your heart. And he's waiting for us to turn to him and try to hear him. So always remember, Krishna is in your heart. And under his direction, a living entity enjoys or suffers in this material world, greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. So this is a significant point. Many people, religious people, pious people, and any religion, doesn't matter, they may approach God, but their intention is to get something in return. But here, what makes Bali so glorious? The story was that Bali had conquered the whole universe. He was sitting on the throne of Indra, so that meant he was king. He was ruling the whole universe. And he, in keeping his promise, because the Lord said, I only want 3 steps of land. And Bali said, oh, you're not very intelligent. I run the whole universe. I can give you your own planet. And Vamanadeva said, no. If I'm not happy with 3 steps, I won't be happy even if I own the whole universe. Sort of tongue-in-cheek, so to speak. But Bali didn't know. And Bali's guru knew. He knew what was going on. And he told them, hey, you don't know who you're dealing with here. This is Vishnu. You're going to lose everything. But Bali didn't care. All Bali wanted to do was to keep his promise. And Bali Maharaj told his guru, in my family, even though who's his family? Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, great demons. But he said to Vamana and to Shukracharya, nobody in my family has ever broken their promise. And then he mentioned his father, how the demigods came in disguise asking for his body, and he gave it for a good cause, for reputation. So Bali said, even if this person is Vishnu, and even if he is going to cheat me, I don't care. I must keep my... I promise I would give the 3 steps of land. I must do it. So yes, with 2 steps, Vamanadeva covered everything up and down. As we read, the 2nd step, he cracked a hole in the universe. The Ganges water came. So with 2 steps, he took everything away from Bali. Completely bankrupt him. No bailout for Bali Maharaj. So the Lord said, you owe me my 3rd step. You won't be able to fulfill, therefore you'll have to go down to this low, low planet Sutala. But Bali said, no, no, my Lord. I still have my head. Place your 3rd step on my head. So the Lord agreed. And as Prabhupada tells us, that is how Bali purchased the Lord. Because that's called full surrender. Rightfully, he had conquered the universe. He didn't do it unrightfully. He did it properly. He became so powerful. Indra and the demigods had to go into hiding. But when he offered his head, that was the last token. Here it is. I've given you everything, but now you take me. Complete surrender. This is called Atma Nivedanam. Everyone say. And this is what we are supposed to be aspiring for. We're all supposed to be aspiring for this full surrender. Like Draupadi, when she was being disrobed in the assembly, she was trying to hold on and save herself. But no, she threw up both arms. Hey Govinda, Krishna, you protect me. Full surrender. This is the symptom of someone who is on the advanced platform. They surrender completely to the Lord. And this is the ultimate meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. When we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, what are we saying? My Lord, I completely surrender. So let's do that. Are you afraid?
No.
Then raise your hands. Show you're not afraid. Not like this. Like this. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hang in there. Krishna Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama Rama!
Rama Rama!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Doesn't that feel good? Yes. Every day you should do that. It's great therapy. It's very good. You just feel like a whole weight of the world has been taken off. Let's continue. Are you ready for more?
Yes.
We're going to go deeper. All right, very good. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically opened. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. Otherwise, it would have been a business exchange. But the Lord is not interested in business. That's not what the Lord does. The Lord is looking for love, for surrender. He's looking for your heart. That's what the Lord's looking for. He wants to see, how much do you really love me? You say you love me, tuk, 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 but now I'm going to test you. Let's see if you really love me. All the great devotees are tested like that, to see. So you say you love God? Okay. How about this? No, no, Lord, please, no, 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 no. We all get tested at some time or another. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. We learn this from Lord Chaitanya in his final Shikshastakam prayer, when he says, my Lord, you are my Lord whether you embrace me or you break my heart or trample over me, doesn't matter. You're my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So this is how, this is the goal, this is what we're striving for, to come to that platform. Unconditional love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So keep that in mind. This is the goal. We are trying to reach the stage of unconditional love. Let us continue. Now here comes a very important statement by Shukadeva Goswami, because it can be seen as the essence of our Hare Krishna movement. So pay attention. Listen carefully. Shukadeva Goswami says, If one who is embarrassed by hunger, or one falls down or stumbles, and then chants the holy name, even once, willingly or unwillingly, that person is immediately freed from the reactions of one's past deeds. Just once chanting the holy name. I think we should chant. Let's chant, everybody. Just once, the seed, just once. Karmis, entangled in material activities, face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the supercell, sells himself to his devotees, such as Narada Muni. But it's all a question of this surrender. If you want the Lord to give himself to you, you have to give yourself to the Lord. And it's a matter of heart. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. The great mystic Durvasa Muni, he also learned this. When Durvasa Muni was being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, because Durvasa Muni had offended a pure devotee, Ambarish, and the Lord immediately sent his Sudarshan Chakra to chastise Durvasa. Durvasa went all over the universe looking for shelter. Lord Brahma said, "Can't help you." He went to Lord Shiva. Durvasa Muni is a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, "Can't help you." Durvasa Muni went to Lord Narayan and begged him, "Please, no more. This Sudarshan Chakra is just about." And that's when Lord Narayan said, "No, I can't help you. The only person that can deliver you is the person you offended, Ambarish. If he forgives you, then my Sudarshan Chakra will leave you alone." And then Lord Narayan told him why. Lord Narayan said, in devotees' hearts like Ambarish, they only know me, Lord. They don't know anyone else. And then the Lord said, and likewise, in my heart, I only know those devotees. So Durvasa Muni went flying back. And Ambarish had been waiting 1 year, not eating, not drinking, waiting with folded hands for Durvasa to come back. Just so that he could forgive him. Just see how great is these pure devotees who the Lord knows only in his heart. This is, again, what we're striving to become, this kind of a devotee. That kind of a devotee that the Lord knows in his heart, and in our heart, we don't know anyone but the Lord. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Okay, continue. Come on, Krishna, Krishna! Great self-realized mystic yogis, such as the four Kumaras, also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the Supersoul within themselves. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bali Maharaj by giving him material happiness and opulence, for these make one forget loving service to the Lord. This is another significant point. Sometimes the Lord keeps us in a less material position for this reason. The Lord is very considerate. When people worship other gods, demigods, it is more or less a business transaction. You do the appropriate worship, the appropriate sacrifice, and when Krishna, in the heart of the demigod, sanctions it, you get your benediction. But it's material. It's limited. It's temporary. But if somebody approaches the Lord directly, the Lord first of all considers, here is my devotee, and my devotee is asking me something material. I don't know if that's such a good idea. Because the Lord considers, if I give this material facility to my devotee, he may forget my loving service. So like a good parent, the Lord may not sometimes sanction our desire. You do that with your children, do you not? All you good parents out there, do you give everything your children ask? No, you'd be bankrupt within 2 days. No, you first consider, is this good for my child? If it's good, oh, then you may give. I know when I was growing up, I would ask my father, can I have some money? So he would never give me what I asked for. He would say, let me see what you do with 10 cents. I would ask for a dollar. But he wanted to see, well, what will he do with 10 cents? And if he saw that I was spending it on bubble gum or candy, then he's not going to be inclined to give me the dollar, is he? He wants to see that I'll do something good with it. So the Lord is the same way. We may approach him and we may say, my Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this. And sometimes it seems like the Lord has not answered your prayer. Actually, he has. Whatever that thing was, he considered, nah, it's not good for you. So keep that in mind, what we just heard from Shukadev. Right? The Lord did not award his mercy, for these make one forget loving service of the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his or her mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, that is maya. That is illusion. It's a situation by which we get this material scenario, and what happens? We forget. We see it even with our own family members sometimes. We give them everything, and then what happens? They forget, and they don't appreciate who made the arrangement. That happens sometimes. And then the parents say, we did all this, and they have turned out like this. So the Lord is very, very considerate with his devotees and will not always satisfy all their desires, because the main thing is the Lord wants to keep us from falling into illusion. That's the Lord's main goal, to protect us from falling into illusion. Let us continue. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead could not see any other means of taking everything away from Bali, he adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Thus only his body was left, but the Lord was still not satisfied. He arrested Bali Maharaj, bound him with the ropes of Varuna, and threw him in a cave of a mountain. Wow. Pretty
harsh, tough love, huh?
Nevertheless,
although all his property was taken and he was thrown into a cave, Bali Maharaj was such a great devotee that he spoke as follows. So now let's see how Bali passes or doesn't pass the test. Keep in mind, he is ruling the entire universe. The Lord has now taken everything away. And what we just heard, the Lord has thrown him into a cave of a mountain. So he's a criminal. He's a, what do you call that? You know, the terrorists do that sometimes. Lock you up. Yes, he's captive. All right, let's see. So, if that was you or me, I wonder how we would be thinking. How would we? I even asked myself, how would I react? Let's see how Bali reacts. So this is what Bali Maharaj is thinking in the cave of the mountain. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, instead engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. So, Bali is comparing himself to Indra and is thinking Indra not very intelligent. What did Bali say? Indra could have asked the Lord, please give me some service. But what did he do? No. The Lord should serve me. The devotee, if the Lord comes, what will the devotee say? The devotee won't ask the Lord, what can you do for me? The devotee will say, what can I do for you? You see the difference. That's the difference. The pure devotee wants to do something for the Lord, and the less intelligent wants to engage the Lord in his service. Bali continues. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Yes, Indra is Indra, but soon he won't be Indra. Just like Mr. Obama is president. Within a year, 2 years, he'll be gone. You can't be president forever. No position in this material world is permanent. Even Indra, the king of heaven. You'll have to give it up. Bali continues. My grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, is the only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadev wanted to offer Prahlad his father's kingdom and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahlad accepted neither. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service. And therefore, such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy. Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and jnana, Prahlad Maharaj simply begged for the Lord for engagement in the service of his servant. And that is shown in the seventh canto. The Lord tested Prahlad. Here's the picture right behind me. So the Lord tested Prahlad. And what did Prahlad say? My Lord, I'm not a merchant. I don't serve you to get something. I serve you because you're the Lord. And I'm your servant. And that's all I need to know. And the Lord insisted, no, take a benediction. So what did Prahlad said? Okay, if I must take a benediction, then please, in my heart, let there be no more material desires. This is the ultimate prayer. How many of us can pray like that? You ask yourself, can I pray like that? Can I actually feel that prayer? My Lord, let there be no more material desires in my heart. If you can pray like that, you have achieved success. That is the actual meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, let's see how we chant. Everybody. Bali is still in the cave. He's still thinking. Persons like us, who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord. So what do you think? Do you think Bali passed the test of the Lord being in prison in the cave? How many do you think he passed the test? Very good. So what happened? Listen, Shukadeva Goswami finishes up. My dear King, how shall I glorify the character of Bali Maharaj? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of the three worlds, who is most compassionate to his own devotee, stands with club in hand at Bali Maharaj's door. I think he passed the examination. How many of you have Krishna standing at your door with the club? You call 911, good luck. But look at Bali. Everything was taken away, he was put in a cave. But after all that, he has his own planet, and who's his doorkeeper? Lord Vamandev with a club. Now listen to what happened. Shukadeva Goswami says, once when Ravana, you all know Ravana, right? Once when Ravana, the powerful demon, came to gain victory over Bali Maharaj, Vamanadeva kicked him a distance of 80,000 miles with his big toe. Therefore, Vamanadeva is the original soccer player. 80,000 miles. How many of you believe it? I believe this. Or do you think it's some fairy tale? I don't take it as a fairy tale. I shall explain the character and activities of Bali Maharaj later in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this was a very quick summary. In the eighth canto, there are many chapters where Shukadev goes into great detail explaining the intricacies of this whole Vamana Leela. And for me, the most significant is at the end. So, When Vamanadeva approached Bali to beg the 3 steps of land, Bali was engaged in a sacrifice, and Shukracharya's guru was the priest. And that's when Vamanadeva approached, asked for charity, he stole everything, and then everything was taken away. So after all was said and done, the demigods headed by Indra were reinstated in their positions, because while Bali was ruling, all the demigods were incognito. They were hiding. The Lord advised them, don't try to defeat the demons now, they're too powerful. So you best go into hiding. And that's why the Lord had to act on their behalf. He fulfilled the desire of Aditi when she performed the payovrat, the vow of subsisting on milk. So after everything was done, Vamanadeva went to Shukracharya and said to Shukracharya, so what is the fault of your disciple? What mistake did Bali make? And now Shukracharya says the most wonderful thing. Shukracharya tells Lord Vamana that when we do a sacrifice, there's bound to be mistakes. There'll be a mistake with the timing. There'll be a mistake with the procedures. Maybe there's a mistake in the way the mantras are chanted. There may be a mistake according to time, place, and circumstance. But Shukracharya told Lord Vamanadeva, but when the holy name of your lordship is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So that's why in our movement, we stress above everything else, chanting the holy name. All this other stuff is nice, but the real thing that matters is this chanting of the holy name of God. That is the most important thing that we do in this movement. This deity worship is nothing without the chanting of the holy name. This chanting of the holy name makes up for all the discrepancies. When Srila Prabhupada installed the Krishna Balaram deities in Vrindavan, in order to keep the local smarta brahmanas and pandits at ease, he had to allow them all to come and do their pujas. But Prabhupada said, as far as I was concerned, the chanting, the kirtan, that was sufficient for installation of the deities. And what is our movement called? Our movement is called the Hare Krishna movement. Our movement is based on and centered upon simply chanting the holy name of the Lord. Are you convinced? Doesn't sound like it. If you're convinced, show me and chant so loud that Mr. Obama hears you. Go ahead. Not bad. Very good. So always remember that it is this chanting that makes everything faultless. Please, that is my message for today. Repeating what Shukracharya said, that when there's chanting of the Lordship's holy name, everything becomes faultless. Who wants a blessing? All right, if you want a blessing, sit nicely. As Prabhupada used to say, sit properly. All right, raise your hands. And I bless you all. I bless you that if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra throughout the week, all your anxieties will go away. Fair enough? So you're all going to chant during the week? How many times? Oh, really? All right, everybody together. Hare
Krishna!
Very good. Now comes the hardest part. Take prasad. Thank you very much. All glories to Lord Vamanadeva Maharaj ki. Anyone who would like to contact me, you can take one of my cards.